Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of sinners. I was thinking just a few nights ago about how the stars are in the sky in the night, and they're always shining. It's just that the closer light puts them out, makes them of non-effect, and they come through when it's dark, unless there's a cloud. And so there are a couple of things that can keep us from seeing the light. The clouds or the bright light. The stars are a bright light, but they're so far from us until the sun, being closer to us, dims them and make them of non-effect. And so we go about not even aware of them, and they're still doing their duty. They're doing what the Lord called them to do. He made the stars also. We find in Genesis chapter 2, I believe, when the Lord is the one who made these things, the stars. And those stars have been doing what the Lord wants them to do, just shining brightly above, just shining there, doing what God wants them to be doing. So there in Genesis 1:16, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Now notice something here as I was talking about these stars. They're there all the time, but because of the bright light, then we don't see them. You know what that says to me? That the Lord is telling us that He has the light of day, the sun shine in the daytime to guide us. And sometimes it'll get dark. The way will get dark, and we do not know exactly what to do. But the Lord does not leave us without light altogether. There is light. And sometimes those stars will be blocked out by the clouds. But the Lord has not left us without hope, because He has told us things and given to us His promises, and we're to rest on those promises. And as long as we're resting on His promises, we are never without hope. The stars speak of that hope, the eternal hope that we have in the Lord. The sun will shine, and the sun is shining all the time. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean that it's not shining. And on those cloudy days, there are people who complain about the clouds, the rain. But the Lord is the one who's given to us these things. He's the giver of such a great and perfect gift as the clouds, as the rain, as the storms that move through. And lives are lost during these. And many times people ask the question, how can you say that God is in charge when earthquakes take so many lives and volcanoes erupt and destroy so many, and floods appear and bring and wash so much away and bring such devastation unto a land? How can you say that the Lord is working? Well, the Lord is working. He is giving grace. Now listen, this is not home yet. Sin is in this world where we are. It's all around us. Now, if the Lord were to make this perfect, He can do that, but He will not, because of His providence, His sovereignty. He has a place where there will be no more sin. The world, the earth, was at one time without any sin in it. And Adam plunged the whole human race into sin. And so now we're in the world where God's grace is and where sin is. Sin abounds, but God's grace does much more abound. And the Lord is greater glorified during these times of trials and difficulties. And He wants us to ever look to Him. Always look. Rest on His promises, no matter how dark the way gets. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask for Thy blessings again upon Thy people today. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Now let's go ahead and look again in the book of Genesis chapter 27. This chapter tells us of how that Isaac's sight is now dim. Years have stacked up on his side and time is slipping away from him. And he's asked his son Esau to go and get some venison for him to eat so he can bless him before he dies. The first four verses. But this moves us to another place. Rebecca, hearing what her husband is saying to their elder son, devises a scheme for Jacob to get the blessing before her son. Now, look at this now. Again, we saw earlier that Jacob wanted the birthright, and we can say that, well, this is an indication of his faith that the one who had the birthright was in line to receive the blessings or to receive the blessings from the Father. And so he believed that. The Lord had promised that the elder was to serve the younger, had told them that was going to happen. See, the Lord knows the future. And how that Esau despised this birthright and sold it for a morsel, for just a meal, sold it for some pottage, some red lentils and beans, like food, a dish. And that's what he asked for. And by so doing, he was indicating he did not have faith. He lived for that moment. And now his mother is going to enter into seeing to it that he is going to get the blessing as well as the birthright. And so when she sees this is about to happen, she tells her son what he must do and how he is to get the blessings instead of his brother getting them. In verse 5, when she heard this, verse 5 of Genesis 27, Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. So now he is going to do what his father has asked him to do. But Rebekah, she puts together a plan. Now this is a woman who loves her husband. She loves her sons. I'm sure she loved both of them. The scriptures told us earlier that Esau was loved by Isaac, and Jacob, he was loved by his mother. And we saw that as an occasion for a family to be divided, where the family parents had favorites. The children recognized that. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with a child desiring to be with one parent or the other. The child could not have gotten here had it not been for the parents. I was just reading something today about situations where there are mothers who are not wanting to have a man in their lives, and so they're paying doctors to implant a seed in them from some unknown person so that they can raise a child. They go out and they have a career, and then they say, now I want to have a child. And they will have these children, an article that I just read. These mothers wait till they are 30 and 40 years of age, and now they can't have children. There are some who are married, and they have put off having children because they said, we want to have a career first. Only one problem with that. That's not the way God planned it. God didn't plan it first for you women to go have your career first and then settle down and have your children. That's not the way God planned it. He didn't plan it that way. That's something you came up with or something you and your husband may have come up with, but it's not God's plan. How do I know that? Because your body won't wait. Your body won't say, oh, that's what we're going to wait until you get everything in order, and then we'll give you children. No, the Lord made your body to bear children at a certain time. You're not in charge. Does that surprise you that you're not in charge of your body? A few years ago, I was talking to a woman who was, she was for abortions. And you know what she said to me? And she was a professing Christian. She said, it's a woman's right to have an abortion because it's her body. And she was professing to be a Christian. Then later on, someone helped her to understand this matter, and she got things right with the Lord and changed her attitude about aborting unborn babies because it was just a part of the woman's body and the woman had a right to do with the child that she wanted. Well, the Lord didn't say that either. The Lord didn't say you had a right to do with that baby what you want to do with it. That's God's property. And he's going to hold you accountable for how you take care of his property. And so this article went on to say that I was talking about earlier. These women are finding out, they are saying, the medical profession has lied to us. Well, did it have to be the medical professions? They got to blame somebody. They've got to blame somebody. And there is such a thing as a body going through the change of life. I used to wonder as a young father, when our children were young and we were trying to rear them. And I did. I even said this, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know how to train these children. This is the first time I've ever been a father, and first time I've been this way before. Lord, if I had more wisdom, let me. No, we were married 3 years before our child came, or our son came. The Lord gave us a son. And, you know, now that I'm older and having grandchildren, the Lord has let me see why. If he had given me children when I was older, I would never have been able to keep up with them. I love to see our grandchildren come, and I am just as happy when they go with mother and daddy. I really am, because they have so much energy. They have so much to, and I love to answer their questions, and I will try to answer them as long as they ask them. But, you know, I couldn't keep that up day after day. So I'm so happy they are in the best baby care. They have the best babysitters that I know of, ones I really trust them with, their parents. I just love them. But I just couldn't keep up with them. And the Lord has a plan. He put this together in the way that he has done it. Bear your children in your youth. In all of the mistakes you make, the Lord, if you're trying to please him, he has grace sufficient for you. But don't tell God to wait on you. Give yourself to him now. Live for him today. And watch him work. You put together your plan and tell God that his plan is not good enough and that you found a better plan, a better counselor. Well, you'll have to reap what you sow. You'll have to sleep in that bed that you make for yourself. And this article went on to say about how sad these women were that they were trying to have children, and they were trying to do so without a man in their lives. And the one article was talking about a boy, I think it was 9 or 10 years old, and he didn't know his father, and his mother told him how he arrived, and now he is trying to find out who his father is. I hear these things all the time. People are saying, you know, well, I'm going to explain to my son or my daughter how it is, you know, that we had. What does a child know about your explanation? God gave a man and a woman, and he gives them children, and you are responsible for rearing those children, forgetting about your own selfishness, and serve the Lord. Stop being so selfish, and that will bring your marriage and your home back together, and you can get things right. Rebecca and Isaac had their favorites, and now we are going to see how this is going to bring greater division and strife. Father, we pray that someone today has listened to the counsel of the Word of God and these words, and if chosen to take the Lord's way. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson in Greenville, South Carolina. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.